Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Day in the Life of Podcast with me, Tanya Hassan. In this episode, I'm joined by the amazing Karima Gulick. Karima is a patent attorney and also has her own law firm called Innovent Law. And so in this episode, we chat all about the process of her opening up her law firm, how she sort of decided to move into patent law, as well as, you know, what a patent even is and what does a patent attorney do on a day-to-day basis. And so I think this episode is really great for everyone who is an aspiring entrepreneur wanting to, you know, create something of their own and really bring their ideas and to reality. It kind of gives you an idea of what to expect and kind of what to look for throughout that process. So I'm super excited for this one, and I hope you all enjoy too. Without further ado, here's the episode. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast, Karima.
My pleasure. Happy to be here. This is exciting.
I'm really excited to learn more about your profession as a patent attorney. Getting started, can you kind of explain to my listeners a little more about just what a patent is for those who might be a little unfamiliar with it?
Sure. So if you've ever watched Shark Tank, one of the first questions that the shark will ask is, do you have a patent? What a patent is, it's really a protection of your rights and of your invention. So say you came up with a really cool gadget or software application or a product, any new invention that is useful can be protected with a patent. So a patent is just that. Think of it as when you're buying actual real property, you get a title, right? When you're making a new invention, you're getting a patent, and that's basically the equivalent of that title to your invention and to your intellectual property.
Yeah, thanks for that explanation. And so how did you know that, you know, being a patent attorney was something that you wanted to do?
Yeah. So I actually didn't know what a patent attorney was or what did. It's not something that was even on my radar until I was actually in my third year of undergrad. I didn't always know what I wanted to be. I remember changing my mind multiple times. I wanted to be a psychiatrist, wanted to go to med school maybe. And then I decided, you know what? Engineering sounds fun. I always loved planes. I wanted to know how planes worked. The aviation field in general was always fascinating to me. So I decided to go into aeronautical engineering. I decided that I could learn how planes worked, how to make them, maybe fly them at some point for fun. So that's what I did. Went into aeronautical engineering, and within my sophomore or junior year of college, I joined Model UN. And I really loved it. I loved doing research, drafting briefs. I loved going to the conferences, making arguments in front of committees. And I started thinking more about the intersection of what could I do that would combine maybe my engineering and my love for writing and speaking. And so doing a little bit more digging, I found out about patent law. And so in order for you to become a patent attorney, you need to have a STEM background. So whether that's, you know, math, science, technology, computer software, engineering, chemistry, and have, in addition to that, go to law school and be an attorney. And that was attracting to me for multiple reasons. One, there aren't that many attorneys that come with a scientific background or with a STEM background. So I knew that I could differentiate myself from the crowd right away. And two, it would help me get into something pretty unique. You know, I would be on the forefront of innovation and inventions. Sophomore, junior year of college, the thought crossed my mind, but I still wanted to pursue. I continued pursuing my engineering education. So after I finished college, I got an engineering job at an aerospace company and I started working there, and I loved it, but things were not moving fast enough for me. It was, you know, we were working on the same project for years and I wanted something a little bit more dynamic. So I pitched an idea to the Innovation Council, which is basically like a council within the company that dealt with brand new inventions. So engineers would have new ideas for projects for the company. And then we would, as a committee, a smaller committee, we would look at them and then decide whether it made sense for us to pursue those things. But one of the first steps was to talk to our patent attorneys. So just to see whether someone else was already doing that, and talking to our marketing team to see whether that's financially feasible and something that the market wants. And, you know, lastly, if everything looked good and if the corporation approved of it, then it would be, get patented, and we would be working with the patent attorneys. So that was interesting to me, because here is this group of people, these patent attorneys, who are on the forefront of innovation and getting to see all of these brand new technologies before they even hit the market. So I decided to go back to school, but this time what I did was I was continuing to work as an engineer full-time and went back to law school, did an evening part-time program. So 3 to 4 days a week, I was going to school at night and I was working as an engineer during the day, just because I didn't want too many student loans.
Wow. Yeah. I love your story on how you were, you know, able to discover what you wanted to do ultimately. And I love that it kind of had the best of both worlds as a patent attorney. And so my question is, like, how are you able to kind of manage, you know, still having your job as like the aerospace engineer, but then also, you know, going to law school? Cause it's pretty rigorous. So how are you able to kind of find that balance and manage that?
Yeah, I had no social life. So for those 4 years, I basically was going to work and then commuting to school after work and going to school. And on weekends, I was catching up on my readings and catching up on, you know, on schoolwork. Yeah, and the company that I worked with was, you know, was very understanding of that, in a sense where, I mean, there were times where we had to work weekends, but that wasn't always the norm. So I was able to create my own little balance there. But yeah, I was not seeing my friends as often. It was mostly work, school, and then sometimes I'll come home and watch a little Netflix just to feel like I have a life outside of work and school. But for the most part, yeah, that's how I managed.
Wow, that's pretty admirable, but I'm sure it all paid off in the end.
It did. Just to not have those mountains of student loans was worth it.
And so kind of fast forward, you finished law school, and then, you know, I know you have to take the bar exam, but is there another examination you have to do for patent law specifically?
Yeah. So there is, absolutely. You're absolutely right. There's what we call the patent bar, and that's an exam with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And actually, you don't have to be an attorney to take that test. So a lot of engineers will decide like they want to become patent agents. And so a patent agent can pretty much do almost the same thing as a patent attorney, except for going to court and litigating the cases. A lot of people decide that they want to go into patents, but they don't want to become a patent attorney. So as long as you have those qualifications, so that STEM background or the equivalent in credits of STEM credits in undergrad, you are eligible to sit for that exam for the patent bar. And you get a registration and you can start working as a patent agent. Some people also work as patent engineers. So if, you know, if that's the career that you want, you don't really need to become a patent agent and have that license number, even though it helps. But a lot of companies will have patent engineers. So people who will do the research, do, you know, some of the drafting without really having being either a patent agent or a patent engineer, patent attorney, sorry.
Nice. Yeah. I really love how there's so many different, you know, options and different routes you can kind of go from. And then when you became licensed, did you start, you know, working for a company, or kind of what did you do when you were out of school?
Yeah, sure. So I will say going back to being an engineer, I remember I had like a little bit of hesitation. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that what I was doing and the work that I was doing as an engineer was not it for me, but I didn't know how to change. I mean, here I am, like I invested already 4 years of schooling, a lot of internships. It was quite a lot of experience that I did not want to lose, that I wanted to hold on to. So I started like looking into maybe going to business school, but that would have furthered me in management in within the engineering company, but not so much outside of that. I started volunteering for Human Rights Watch, for some nonprofits around where I was living, just to see what would be good. And that's honestly, that's an advice I'll get to anyone who's not sure about what they want to do, or even if you're sure, get to shadow someone, get to do a little bit of the work, get to see a little bit of what they do on a day-to-day basis to decide whether that's something that sounds exciting to you or not. And I feel like that there's not enough out there. Honestly, even like for engineering, I remember going into engineering without really knowing what an engineer does on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, back to your question. I finished law school. And at the end of that, I decided to, you know, stop working as an engineer. I took about a couple of months to study for the patent bar, take that, and then study for the California bar and take that. And then I got a job at an IP, at a boutique intellectual property law firm in my area. And I was worried about taking a pay cut from an engineering to a patent attorney position, but fortunately, that was not the case. So I got to work on different patents. I was given my own clients. I was given some opinions to draft. I was given some searches to do. I was talking, communicating with the clients directly, which was great and which was something that I didn't really have as an engineer.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that walkthrough. And when you were working at, the IP firm, how did you sort of like that, corporate life and everything? Because I know you recently opened your own firm, which is amazing. So kind of how did you like that corporate life and what kind of made you want to, shift and pivot towards opening your own business up?
Yeah. So I always wanted to have my own business, but I didn't know what. And that was part of the decision that I made when, after undergrad, when I was working as an engineer, I decided to go to law school because that could only open more doors for me. I could teach if I wanted to. I could go into different practice areas if I wanted to. I could start my own business if I wanted to. And that's basically what I wanted to do. I definitely wanted to have my own business. For working in corporate as an engineer we had thousands of employees at that company. I loved it because we had so many different resources. There was job security and stability. But I felt like not that there wasn't room for growth, but I felt like I was a little bit pigeonholed in the position that I was in. And also, like, there is a lot of red tape and bureaucracy, especially in aerospace, to get anything to change. I did not really love that. I liked working at the IP boutique law firm a lot more, but something was still missing. I loved learning in general. So the first few months were really, really exciting to me. I was just eating it up and learning as much as possible. But I got to a point where it started getting a little redundant and boring. And I thought to myself, you know what? I know how to do the work. I'm handling my own client communication. I feel pretty confident starting my own practice. I'll have to backtrack a little bit. But while I was working as an engineer, I reached out to a patent attorney and asked him to basically either work for him as an intern on the side for school credit or some sort of work arrangement where I could learn a little bit more. And so he ended up being my mentor and right now is my off counsel to the firm. But before starting my own firm, I went out to him and I said, look, yeah, 35 years experience, that's a lot more than I have. I'm looking to start my own practice, but I might need a little bit more guidance. So how about I pay you for your time when I need it and have you help me with cases just to have a little bit, just to make sure that I was doing the right thing and doing my due diligence for my new clients. Yeah, so that was it. I decided to start my firm and within a few months I was getting my own clients and yeah, never looked back since.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I think just having that experience under your belt was probably super helpful. Just being able to start your own firm and kind of doing your own thing just allows you so much more, flexibility and like autonomy with being able to kind of do what you want to do and bring your vision. So I think that's really awesome that you were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's as a business owner, there's always ups and downs, but overall it's exciting. There's always something new every day. Yeah. So if you like that, if you like a fast-paced environment and, different things and get bored easily, then business ownership can definitely be very, right up your alley.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, kind of segueing into you being a business owner, can you give us kind of like a walkthrough of just how like a typical day in your life looks like kind of from start to finish and just the average day in your life?
Sure. So most days don't look alike. And what I've done is consciously build a week the way I want it to. So for example, on Mondays, Mondays and Tuesdays, I don't do outward facing client meetings. So those usually Mondays are internal days where we have our weekly team meetings with the team. I get to set the strategy for the week, what everybody is going to be working on. And then Tuesday are usually my deep thought work for the largest clients. And so I'll dedicate the day to doing either patent research or responding to patent rejections or trademark rejections, drafting appeals, whatever I really need to do. Anything that requires focus will typically go into the Monday afternoon and into that Tuesday where I'm not being interrupted, you know, with various client meetings. Fridays are my fun days. And I typically like to work on marketing, setting up systems, making the firm better on Fridays. Any hiring, if we're doing any hiring, all of those things will go on Friday. Wednesday and Thursday are typically like hybrid days for me. So Wednesdays, I'll typically do client meetings. If I'm working on fun projects, that's going to be going in there, closing up things, working with the team to make sure that, you know, nobody needs anything from me and I'm not there. And then Thursday is a little bit of a hybrid as well, where it's like more focused, deep work, first half of the day. And then the last half of the day, I'll take on client meetings and client calls and things like that.
Yeah, I love how it's a little bit different every day. That's awesome. And so thank you so much just, you know, for sharing and kind of walking through, you know, more about Patent Attorney. I think a lot of my listeners will find this episode to be, you know, super interesting and helpful because a lot of the times when you see like different entrepreneurs and, you know, like you were saying before Shark Tank, I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with that. But kind of when we see things like that, we don't immediately think, oh, like, you know, patents and patent lawyer, but when you kind of dive deeper, it's really interesting to see what a big role they play in making a lot of this possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say that most patent attorneys did not set out to be patent attorneys from the get-go. You know, you usually go to undergrad with some sort of, you know, STEM some sort of like just wanting to further your STEM career. You start working a little bit in that and then decide you want to become a patent attorney and go back to law school. But yeah, that's usually the I've seen also people later in life going to school for physics or for STEM and then going to law school after that. So there's so many different ways of ending up a patent attorney.
Right. Yeah, you're totally right. And I feel like especially the way you discovered your love for it, it was really organic. And I think that's really cool. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on my show. And before we wrap up, I just had a couple little like rapid fire round of questions just so my listeners can get to know you a little bit better. So the first one is, if you were not a patent lawyer, what would you be apart from like aerospace and engineering?
I've always been fascinated by Doctors Without Borders. So I think a doctor and joining Doctors Without Borders.
Nice. Is there any like particular, I guess, specialty you would want to go into or just kind of generally being like a doctor?
Yeah, maybe just generally. Yeah.
Nice. Are you reading or listening to anything right now?
Yes, multiple things. okay, so on the nonfiction side, I am listening to EOS, which is a business book on how to structure your business a little bit better. On the fiction side, I am reading a book called A Year of Rest and Relaxation. and then I'll listen to various podcasts throughout the week too.
That sounds really fun. What is one fun fact about yourself?
I speak 5 languages. I don't know if that's a fun fact.
Oh, that is so impressive. So which languages do you speak?
So English, French, Arabic, Spanish, and Italian.
Wow, that is really impressive. That is so awesome to just speak so many languages and being able to communicate, and that's awesome.
Helps with travel for sure.
Right, yeah. Definitely. And then the last question is, if you had to eat one food every day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Chocolate.
I'm so with you on that one. What's your favorite? What's your favorite chocolate?
I like dark chocolate, but also like dark chocolate sometimes with a little sea salt or a little caramel in it.
That sounds good right now. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. And, you know, I really appreciate it. I learned so much chatting from you. So thank you so much, Karima.
My pleasure, Tanya. And yeah, if any of the listeners have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on social media. On Instagram, I'm at the Patent Lawyer, and the Patent Lady on the rest of the platforms.
For sure. For sure. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd love to know what y'all think. To learn more, check out my Instagram and YouTube at Finlit for Teens. And if you're interested to hear from a certain profession, feel free to DM me so we can get them on the show. Thank you again, and see y'all soon.